Silently, she lets go of me. She takes the hairpin out of her hair and without a moment's hesitation stabs the sharp tip into the flesh of the inside of her left arm hard. With her right hand, she presses tightly on a vein and blood begins to seep out. The first drop plops audibly to the floor. Without a word, she holds her arm out towards me. Another drop of blood falls to the floor. I bend over and put my lips on the small wound, lick her blood with my tongue, close my eyes and savour the taste. I hold the blood in my mouth and slowly swallow it. Her blood goes down, deep in my throat. It's quietly absorbed by the dry outer layer of my heart. Only now do I understand how much I've wanted that blood. My mind is someplace far away, though my body is still right here, just like a living spirit. I feel like sucking down every last drop of blood from her, but I can't. I take my lips off her arm and look into her face. "Farewell, Kafka Tamara," Miss Saiki says. "Go back to where you belong. And live." "Miss Saiki," I say. "Yes?" "I don't know what it means to live." She lets me go and looks up at me. She reaches out to touch my lips. "Look at the painting," she says softly. "Keep looking at the painting, just as I did." And she leaves. She opens the door and without a backward glance goes out and shuts the door. I stand at the window and watch her go. She vanishes in the shadow of a building. Hands resting on the sill, I gaze for the longest time at where she disappeared. Maybe she forgot something she wanted to say and will come back. But she never does. All that's left is an absence that's like a hollow space. The dozing bee wakes up and buzzes around me for a while. Then, as if finally remembering what it should be doing, it flies out of the open window. The sun shines down. I go back to the table and sit down. Her cup is sitting there, with a bit of tea left in it. I leave it where it is without touching it. The cup looks like a metaphor of memories that, before long, will be lost. I take off my shirt and change back into my sweaty, smelly t-shirt. I put the dead watch back on my left wrist. Then I put the cap Oshima gave me on backwards and the pair of sky-blue sunglasses. Finally, I tug on my long-sleeved shirt. I walk to the sink and down a glass of tap water, put the glass in the sink, and take a final look around the room. At the dining table, the chairs. The chair the girl and Miss Saiki sat on. The teacup on the table. I close my eyes and take a deep breath. You already know the answer to that. I open the door, go outside, and close the door. I walk down the porch steps, my shadow falling distinct and clear on the ground. It looks as if it's clinging to my feet. The sun's still high in the sky. At the entrance to the forest, the two soldiers are leaning against a tree trunk, as though they've been waiting for me. When they see me, they don't ask a single question. It's as if they already know what I'm thinking. Their rifles are slung over their shoulders. The tall soldier is chewing on a stalk of grass. "The entrance is still open," he says. "At least it was when I checked a minute ago." "You don't mind if we keep the same pace as before?" the brawny one asks. "You can keep up." "No problem. I can keep up." "It'll be a problem, though, if we get there and the entrance is already shut," the tall one says. "Then you're stuck here," his companion adds. "I know," I say. "No regrets at having to leave?" the tall one asks. "None." "Then let's get going." "Better not look behind you," the brawny one says. "Yeah, that's a good idea," the tall one says. and once again I set off through the forest. Once, as we're hurrying up a slope, I do glance back. The soldiers warned me not to, but I couldn't help it. This is the last place you can see the town from. Beyond it, we'll be cut off by a wall of trees, and that world will vanish from my sight forever.